Another form of stabilisation is with bitumen and foam bitumen. Ron Hocking was involved with Australia's first foam bitumen stabilisation project.
Well, originally when we first set it up, we set it up with a steam generator, which is a superheated steam it had to be. And it had to be at a certain moisture content too coming out, so there was adjustments made.
Was it dangerous working with steam?
Yes, you had to be very careful of splashbacks and all that sort of thing. A lot of hot stuff around.
So this hadn't been done in Australia before, foam bitumen?
No.
Tom Wilmot also worked with foam bitumen stabilisation technology in the 1970s.
We worked with what would now be considered very dangerous antiquated equipment, but the work was very successful. We stabilised the shoulders of the runways at Tullamarine, which, as far as I know, is still standing in that same condition. We did some work at Walgett, and although a lot of that was not so successful, it was because we were using, as a request by the main roads, lower than recommended bitumen percentages. The section we did with the correct percentage behaved very well. The equipment we used then, we used to inject with steam rather than with cold water, which we do currently. So you had very hot bitumen being pumped through rather unstable lines, a steam generator mounted on a mobile machine, and people continually being sprayed with small amounts of bitumen or getting burned from steam escaping from lines and the like. So these days it would not be considered a safe practice, but it was rather exciting.
Brian Shekel, now professor at the University of New South Wales, was involved in some of the early testing of foam bitumen pavements for Mobil Oil, who owned the patents. He discovered some surprises at the time.
The foam stabilisation, we made up samples of material and we tested them using repeated triaxial loading, which in those days was quite an exotic test. There weren't many laboratories capable of doing that. Shortly after we did this work, there were some successful applications of foam stabilisation, for example, at Sydney Airport. However, most of the work we did showed that the strength and the stiffness of the materials that we tested were not improved by foam stabilisation. Almost all the materials we tested, in fact, their properties were better before we put the bitumen in than after.
So did that turn the tide against foam stabilisation?
I believe it was more likely to be cost. As the cost of bitumen went up, then this was again seen as a relatively expensive process. Unlike cement stabilisation, relatively few organisations had the equipment that were capable of producing foam bitumen, so I think the cost and the availability of equipment were probably the main factors.
However, there are now newer techniques in foam bitumen stabilisation.
Hot bitumen, when put in contact with air, rapidly forms a water vapour out from the moisture in the air and foams. This, of course, increases its surface area astronomically. And that's what you want if you want to mix a small amount of bitumen with granular material in stabilisation. So they've created a methodology whereby you can deliver bitumen to the bowl of a stabilising machine, adding a minor amount of water. You can foam that bitumen and mix that more effectively than you used to be able to and more uniformly.